Hi, and welcome to another edition of Leading and Growing Your Real Estate Business. This is Coach James Shorty, aka Shorty, and welcome to another edition. So remember, if you haven't already, press the subscribe button and you'll get the latest notifications when the next episodes drop. So who do we have today as an amazing guest? Very fortunate, very honored. Lisa B, real estate trainer, coach extraordinaire. You know, Lisa started her real estate business in 1993. She bought a Ray White office in her early 20s. She won many awards for sales within the real estate brand, as well as numerous marketing awards. She's won many listing awards through EAC, achieving well over 150 listings in a 12-month period. Holy dooly. After having the Ray White office, she changed to an independent office and began operating under her own name and brand. She's also experienced in the Gemnan system, which she's also had an approved office there. She helps many, many agencies and agents with all their growth strategies. She's also a 6 times best-selling author. She's a qualified NLP master practitioner, accredited life coach, and author of books like Secret Agents, Banish the Bitch. Ooh, looking forward to hearing about that. International bestseller, Dominate the Internet Online, Real Estate Marketing Academy, and Real Estate Video Domination, and the Boardroom Series that she's created a bunch of these courses as well. It's really an honor and a privilege to have Lisa today, because what it does, it allows us to, you know, we're both coaches, in real estate industry, but what it does, it allows us to collaborate and just to really find out where things are at for her, where things are at for her expertise and what she's noticing out there in the industry. Lisa, really honor and a privilege to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. That's a great introduction. Thank you.
No, absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So what spark do you get into purchasing an office in your early 20s? How did that come about?
I loved real estate. I did the real estate course full time 1 year. You know, it took me 1 year to get that. And then it was like, I'm getting a job in real estate. Definitely, you know, without a doubt, getting a job in real estate. I went to different offices and begged for a job. I'll work, you know, 3 days a week, and you know, I'll do anything, work part time, anything. And then somebody gave me a start. And then shortly after, his wife passed away suddenly. So. You know, he lost interest, obviously. Him and his wife worked in business together. And he came into me and he said, look, you know, I've just lost interest. Do you want to buy the business? And I was like, early 20s, didn't really know what I was doing. And I thought, what could go wrong? Why not? So did it. And, you know, obviously things did go wrong. You know, the trust account wasn't right. There was all sorts of things that happened, but it was a massive big growth spurt that I had. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Loved every second of it.
Wow. And so if you look back on, like, obviously how you've helped so many different agencies, and if you look back in your own experience, what would you have done a little bit different if you know the information now compared to back then?
Oh, it's different times back then. You know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have any of those things, but I don't have any regrets ever. Like, you know, everything always brings us to where you are now. Like all the experience that I had back then, you know, all the experience you have in your life brings you to where you are for what you need right now. And, you know, there's things that I was doing 20 years ago that I go, oh my gosh, we can do that again now. You know, so to me, no, I would have done everything the same. I really would have. Yeah.
And then
you just learn.
And then, no, totally right. And that's the thing. You can learn from these experiences. And as you said, like, from that has allowed you to step into what you do now, which what transitioned you from the real estate ownership of the office to more the coaching, mentoring and on the marketing aspect?
Well, because I moved from Wollongong to Sydney. I moved to Mossman. So my area was like Unanderra, you know, Coachwood Park, Water Heights, which is sort of like the lower end of the market. Moving to Mossman, which is like the most expensive real estate in Australia in some places. You know, so it was like, yeah, just a new challenge and all that sort of thing. And moving to that area, I really had to, it was just social media was just coming out sort of thing. So I had to have a big point of difference, and I saw that as the point of difference. So I used social media. I used video marketing. You know, I had 40 ways to use videos in my business or something. Everything I did video, whatever you could do, I did it by video. I was like, how else can I use video? So that really got me the point of difference. And, so then agents would ring me and say, oh, can I just pick your brain? How do you use this? How do you do that? What camera have you got? So then I developed a course around that, because then I could just say, there's the course, because you can tell them one thing, but I haven't told them the 20 things they've got to do before that, or the 5 things they've got to do after. So it was really, there's the course. So that's how I started training in social media and online marketing and all that sort of thing, and branding, to becoming famous where you are, the attraction agent, they call it now. So that's really what started me with that. And then I moved to Queensland back in 2012. So I've been coaching ever since then, haven't listed and sold since then. And then started with EXP. And so now I get to, coach other agents within the organization here. All my experience of running offices is now, helping people go out by themselves. But also the other thing that I think is really important is I have the empathy for real estate business owners who have got, 10 staff, 5 staff, 3 staff. It's not as good as what the employees think it is. They think the boss is making so much money and all of that sort of thing, but it really is, there's 2 sides to every story. So I've experienced, that, and then, also seeing it from the salesperson's point of view as well, which I think is really important.
Yeah, big time. And so what have you noticed since 2012, the change in relations to that? Has there been some major changes within the industry around the perception employees think, the perception of what business owners think, and
What's worse is the entitlement, and I could talk about that for,
Yeah, let's talk about that.
people totally think they're just entitled to everything. And it's like, you've got to see things, you've got to have empathy for both sides of the story. Just because you want something, it doesn't mean that you are entitled to that. You've got to see, you want the boss to pay you a pay rise. Well, how much money are you actually bringing in? Are you making the business a profit, or is the business owner subsidizing your salary? If you want a pay rise, you need to justify that, So to me, it's about having empathy from both sides, So I think the entitlement rate has gone, up like this. Compared to, I think, what it was before, that's what I see. If you're sort of seeing, talking about the differences of employee-employer relationships, that's the thing that I think has changed.
And how do you, with that, and when you mentioned empathy and from both sides, but how do you actually then, take a staff member and show them or explain empathy, and then you take the principal or the director and show them that side and trying to get them into the middle.
As a business owner, I would tell the employees, how much things cost. Yep. I'm totally upfront. It's like the break-even point is $80,000 this month. So before we even make any money, we've got make $80,000, right? So otherwise, the salespeople can see some sales coming through. Oh, they're making heaps of money. Yeah, but the rent, the wages, the superannuation, this. It all adds up to a lot of money. So, I think being, upfront, not telling them everything, but sometimes there's that transparency of, I'm not making as much money as what you think. And I think both sides need to be fair as well.
I love that because I think that having that transparency, it also is an education process too, right?
Yeah,
because
that's right.
So often, people come in with their blinkers, only know what they know. Yeah. But opening up that blinker is like, oh, I didn't realize that, you wasting all this photocopying is, there's a couple $1,000 a month. Oh,
yeah,
funny
that's
that.
Right. Exactly. So, it's also teaching them about business, if they've never run a business. It's like you've got the amount that comes in, then you've got the expenses, then you've got the profit. And then obviously being a business owner, I didn't come in here to not make money. I came in here to make money. That's my right. I'm putting my backside on the line. So really I should, I'm entitled to make some more money, and I really should be making more money than the employees. Yeah. And I think they've got to get to that point, you know, that it's they understand each site. Because otherwise the boss should just sell the business and get a job for somebody else. They'd make more money and have less risk and less hassle and less stress and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So, you know, I think that's what's changed.
Yeah, very true. And where do you see then, and through the feedback that you get and your own expertise, where do you see the industry heading over the next, I guess, 12 to 24 months? What are you, I mean, there's no crystal ball, but what do you see as some of the trends within the industry?
Well, I mean, I'm probably biased, but I do think the EXP model, the cloud-based models, I think they are, you know, something that is a disruptor because of the, you know, the high cost, like I just said. You know, my office was like $80,000 a month to before I even made money, you know, so sometimes. So, you know, it's to be able to reduce the costs, you know, that's what we've got to do, because there's a lot of principals out there. I talk to a lot of principals, you know, weekly that aren't making money. So, you know, they really need to look at the you know, what they're bringing in and their expenses and how they can cut costs. I think the ego, we need to remove a lot of the ego, you know, to the, you know, look at me, I've got this business, but, you know, down inside, but I'm not making any money and I'm struggling to pay the bills. You know, we need reality checks of, okay, if we're going to be in this business, make some money, you know, enjoy your life and really take a good look at your business structure, you know. So that's where the cloud-based models can, you know, I think are amazing, because, you know, everybody wins with those, you know, that the boss can still make money, everybody else can still make money, and it's just a great business model, particularly XP. But, you know, I think there's different ways to do things now. You know, we don't have to keep doing what we did before. You know, there's new and better ways. And I think, you know, just to explore what else is out there, and to explore better ways of cutting costs.
Yeah. Love that. Because I think, you know, so true, because, you know, what we've learned obviously through, you know, going through COVID is, you know, the big shop fronts and all the expenses attached to the rent, and then obviously the wages keeps going up. Got to look at things a little bit differently. And as you said, moving to a cloud-based operation, it does make sense, because, you know, you can operate anywhere, you can be anywhere at any time. And as you know, it's based on relationships. So with your, you know, your marketing prowess and your marketing expertise, helps the clients to build that relationship, which is which is awesome. And then, so once again, you can be pretty much anywhere running your business, which is great. I love it.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
So I'm interested about you, right? So we've got a couple of questions to find out about our guests. How do you work on your own mindset? What are some of the things that you do to sharpen your mind, to sharpen your sword, so to speak? What do you do to personally work on you?
To me, my mindset is, I'm very clear in my goals. So what I want to achieve. So, you know, to me, it's like, I've got the vision for what I want, and everybody just get out of my way. That's the way you have to be. It really is. You know, if there's a distraction, you know, like, you know, apart from my son and whatever else, but, you know, my goal in EXP is to grow the company as much as I can. And we're growing globally. So we're in six different countries now. Like, my team is in six different countries, and that is my number one goal. So my number one goal is to introduce people to the model, to, you know, to show them what's possible, retain those people, make sure they're happy. And help them grow their businesses as well. So, I think just being very clear in what you want and, not settling, you know, and I've done that before. You know, I've kind of gone, you know, there was a period there where I was sort of helping everybody else, but not helping myself, you know, and there's a time where you've got to put your business hat on and go, no, you know, now it's all about, you know, our family, not helping everybody else and not get paid for it, which a lot of people do, you know, so they give everything away for nothing and they're not valuing themselves. You've got to value what you bring to the table, and then, you know your worth and focus on what you want.
Yeah. Fantastic. And so obviously you're super busy, right? You're helping so many clients out there. You EXP, it's just going crazy busy, which is amazing. You've got an incredible son. You've got so many things on the go. How do you manage your own time, and how do you fit it all in?
I don't. No, I'm joking. No, I try and put, you know, 100% into the weekdays. You know, that's, you know, if I work until 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, I'm okay. The weekends is very much, I tend to switch off and regroup. Yeah. But I've also got holidays planned. You know, I'm going to India in December. That's turned out it's going to be a little bit of work as well, because we've got some agents over in India. But you know, I've got holidays planned. You know, I've always got something. You know, I think I've got 5 places I'm going in the next 4 or 5 months, you know. So whether it's just a weekend, whether it's 3-4 days, whether it's, you know, India, I've always got things to look forward to. I think that's important too, because if otherwise you're just always working, you know, you just can't, you know. So if it means, you know, just go up to Brisbane and stay at the Emporium Hotel for a night or something like that, which I love, you know, just make something special and have things to look forward to. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I love that. So good, so good. Because, that allows you to then do the things that you need to do and then have those rewards afterwards as well, which is fantastic. That's
right. You know, and for me too, like, you know, I've really committed the next 12 months to really, really, really work hard with EXP. So it's kind of like, I'm not saying I'm going to work hard forever. I'm going the next 12 months, I'm going to work my butt off and do what I need to do. Then after that, then I can kind of take the accelerator off a little bit. But, you know, that's what I've committed to doing. So I think commitment and then, you know, doing the actions and all that sort of thing. But then, you know, having the rest as well. I just want to say too, when I lived in Sydney, when I lived in Mossman, it was very much, I honestly remember Googling, how can I sleep less, right? So I could work more, right? I'm like, there must be quicker ways to sleep. You know, seriously, you know, I don't have enough hours in the day. And I remember Googling that, like, how crazy is that? Then I moved to the Gold Coast and it was a real culture shock for me, because people here only want to work 3 or 4 days a week. And I'm thinking, wow, how lazy is that? Like, oh my God. But the mentality here is that, how can I pack into 4 days what somebody else does in 7 and have 3 days off to be on the boat and you know, do whatever? So it really helped me get a lot more work-life balance being here, because that's what I want to do. I want to be out in the water on the weekend. So I don't want to be working here. So, you know, it's sort of like do as much as I can during the week, and then the weekend is the time to just, you know, sort of switch off, regroup, come back fresh and work my butt off again for the week.
I love that, because we're very similar, right? So we moved up from Sydney a couple of years ago. We're at Lennox Head, just near Byron Bay, and it is that shift, isn't it, from that Sydney mentality of like the go to up to the Northern Rivers or Gold Coast, when it's like, ooh, I can breathe, and having that aspect. And I remember a show, I don't know if it was Superman or James Bond, where the villain had all these things connected into them and they learned things quicker, they slept less. It's like, oh, that would be a cool machine. But I can't remember what show, but I remember when you said it, when you're Googling how to get sleep less, that was the image that came up.
I actually bought something, it was called a Paziz, and it was supposed to, if you had a 15-minute sleep, it was supposed to be equivalent to an 8-hour sleep, because it got you into a REM state. So I'm like, okay, all right, you know, like, you know, this isn't working, you know. But
sleep faster.
That's right. Faster and deeper so that I'm not tired.
So we got a bunch of a quick quiz, 60-second quick quiz with a couple of questions. Are you ready for them?
Yes. I can't guarantee I'm gonna be quick, but anyway.
No, that's all right. What's your favorite movie?
God, that's a good question. I don't know. I just love watching Netflix, you know, like just somebody puts me onto a good movie on Netflix. So I haven't really got a favorite one. It's more so just, getting recommendations from everyone else.
Love it. Favorite food?
Seafood.
Okay, good. Favorite holiday destination?
It would be anywhere with experiences, anywhere with magic moments. So to me, it's, you know, do something that you can't do anywhere else. So therefore India.
Great. Do you have a morning routine?
At the moment, I've got to sort back. Normally, it's kayaking. I've got to get back onto there. That is the thing that I love more than anything, is just get on my kayak and go. Yeah.
Beautiful. Do you have an evening routine?
Just stay up really late. I'm a morning person and a night person. Like, I don't need to sleep a lot. So, yeah, it's just I just stay awake a lot.
Fantastic. And if you could choose 5 inspirational people to have dinner with, they could be dead or alive, who would they be?
Okay, apart from like family members, so if it was like famous people or whatever, I'd say probably Frank Sinatra. He's always fascinated me. Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, JFK. So all around that era, like I've read lots of books on them. Oprah would probably be the other one.
Amazing. Yeah. Gee, imagine the melodies around that table. Wow.
I know. How good. Peter Lawford, and then you've got Sammy Davis Jr., the Rat Pack, and all that sort of stuff. That would be amazing. And then, sort of the mafia and find out what happened with all of that and, like, you know, the politics. And then, I think it'd be really interesting to say what actually did happen.
The secrets behind it all. If you were Prime Minister for the day, what's one thing that you would change?
Sack a lot of the other politicians. If you can,
nice. And do you have a best piece of advice?
Don't accept criticism from somebody that you wouldn't take advice from.
Oh, I love it.
That would be my best one. When somebody says something, I think, would I go to you for advice? No, okay, don't worry about it.
Great piece of advice. And so how can the audience find out more about yourself, about your services, about EXP? Where can you send them?
lisab.com.au would be the easiest one.
Too easy. lisab.com.au. Yeah. Awesome. Lisa, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for joining us on the show. And once again, love chatting, love sharing stories, and really appreciate your time.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.